drunk.
Hello and welcome to the Book Wars podcast. I'm Kristen. This is episode 6 of the Book Wars pod, and we will be talking about Bloodline by Claudia Gray. We're doing chapters, someone help me, 10 through 17. No,
18 through 23. But
thank
good
you.
Try.
That was the last one that we did. It's fine. I read the reading. So, what are y'all drinking today? I am drinking from my local bar, Migration Brewing in Portland, Oregon, my favorite place probably in the world at this point. I am drinking a patio pale ale, and it is delicious. What are you drinking, Chris?
I am drinking a Trogues Raspberry Gosa? Raspberry Gosa. Which is apparently a sour that they don't actually bottle. They just sell it in like kegs, and so we got a growler of it at the local brew shop here in Arlington, shouting out small businesses.
Woo! I know. That's what this podcast is all about, small businesses, and not about Star Wars. What are you drinking, Kate?
Wars pot bump.
I'm drinking the same beer, but I'm also double-fisting some kombucha because I need to do myself a health.
Yeah, it's good for your belly.
Yep.
I understand.
Yes.
So
it's hot here. Oh my god.
Well, yeah, I've heard that it's very hot. It's like not that hot here, but it's super humid, and I'm like not okay with it because I moved away from the East Coast so that it like wouldn't be humid all the time, like 365 days a year, and now I'm just like constantly sweating, which is just awesome. I love it. That's definitely why I moved here. It's not at all why I moved here. So let's dive in. So what did you say? We ended at 18. We ended at 21.
Started at 18, ended it after 23.
Great. Perfect. I know. I'm great at numbers as usual.
If you're in the outline document, it's literally in the title.
Yeah. Oh, it's in the title. It's not in like the first line. This is like when people put information that I need in the subject of an email and I'm like, you didn't give me what I need. And they're like, it's the subject of the email. And I'm like, yeah, I don't read the subject of the email. I'm not Albert Einstein. Okay.
Guys, I promise Kristen is literate most of the time.
Well, it's not even true. I was working just before this, though, so that's also probably why my brain is a little bit fried. So, full disclosure. I was working, she says, as if she wasn't doing that at the bar. If my employers are listening, I was not drinking alcohol at the bar.
None. You never drink alcohol.
Yeah. Not right now, either.
This was kind of the section where shit hit the fan.
Oh my god!
In Bloodline.
So much shit. Oh my lord.
So much shit, so much fan. All of the things.
So much Lady Carise being the worst.
Oh my god!
Oh my
she's
god!
Worst. I want to kill her.
She is like a T-Swift level snake.
Oh yeah, god. She certainly is. Okay, so let's... I don't even think this is in the outline. I don't care. How do you guys think that she's fooled Leia so well? Because that's probably what was impressed on me the most, was like, oh my god, Leia's really smart, and everything that she said about Lady Carise does not, you know, denotes that she does not really understand everything that's going on now that we get information from Lady Carise's standpoint.
So, I think part of that, that's a great question, by the way, is
thanks,
that...
Mom.
I think I was saying before how Leia's a bit of an unreliable narrator here. And also, if you really think about it, she kind of is in the movies as well. As much as I love Space Mom, she's got this tendency to make snap decisions about people and kind of maintain those grudges. I think that's a lot of the reason why she resisted Han's advances for so long, like romantically speaking, because she thought she knew who he was, and obviously that wasn't the whole story, and we really get a lot more of that in Bloodline. But yeah, it's just kind of a character flaw of Leia's, and I think that really does apply here. I think she kind of looked at Lady Carise, like, took in her outfit and this totally vapid, vain persona that she wanted to put out, and Leia totally fell for it.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I, like, it kind of, like, that, honestly, I didn't even think about this, like, this when it was, when I was reading it, but it kind of reminds me of, like, when they're going through Leia's nomination, and, like, they're, and, like, Leia's hearing them, like, talk about all this awesome shit that she did, and she's, like, no one's talking about all the times that, like, I, like, totally disagreed with people and was super wrong, like, and, like, it's kind of like that, like, we have this view of Leia in Star Wars, in addition to being this, like, very, like, non-emotional leader, but we have this view of her being infallible and her being right all the time, and that clearly is, was not the case in this case, but it was not the case over the course of her career as well.
Okay, I'll a little bit push back on that insofar that she definitely led them into a trash compactor that was about to be compacted. So, like, that was our, that was, like, one of our first glimpses of Leia, and I was like, oh, she fucked up. But, like, they, it's funny, because, like, Lucas made it so that it looked more like Han and Luke fucked up than Leia did.
Oh my
but
god, that's so
now
true.
When I'm, like, thinking about it, I'm like, oh god, that was all Leia. She was like, somebody has to save our skins, and just, like, hopped into the garbage chute. And I was like, wait, that was totally not any of their fault. I mean, Han probably, shouldn't have shot at the door. That was a very stupid thing for him to do, and very in character. So, fine and well enough. But, yeah, I mean, I think, like, we get little glimpses of her bad decisions, especially because she's, like, a little baby. Like, she was 19 when that happened. Like, that's probably the same thing I would have done now, being way older than 19. So...
yeah, I think we're really inclined to forgive Leia in the movies because I think we're aware of how young she is, and also just the force of Carrie Fisher's charisma makes us want to like her and always, always be on her side.
Yeah.
So I think that's a huge part of what kind of covers up.
This might just be, this might just be me, but I always forget that Leia and Luke are the same age, and I'm like, Luke was 19 when that shit was happening, and I'm like, oh, I see. Like, I forgot that he was a little babe, too. Because they, like, you know, it's talked about and thought about much less. But for some reason, that really, like, impacted me when I was thinking about, like, the age Leia is in Bloodline. And then also, like, all of her thoughts about, you know, all of her reflections about her past.
Right, well, I mean, it's the difference between I need to go to Tashi Station and get some power converters and, you know, the first time we see Leia, she's going toe-to-toe with Darth Vader, so.
Right. I don't know why that would have anything to do with anything.
That thing with R2-D2 was pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh my god.
It was really cute.
Fucking wild.
Yeah. But I mean, I think also, like, not to pin it all on Leia, like, you gotta give Lady Carice some credit, because I mean,
oh yeah, no, that's kind of what I was doing, I think. I hope
you have all these centrists in, like, Casterfo's office, like, talking about how much they love the Empire, and he's like, all right, y'all are fucking idiots,
dude. He's
and,
so complicated,
like, nobody will ever trust you to run anything. And they have Lady Carice, who's just, like, biding her time, like, being the real, like, brains behind the operation and paving the way for the First Order comeback right in, like, under everyone's noses. And, like, kind of the deviousness is very reminiscent of Palpatine and his political maneuvering.
Oh my god.
Oh god, she's so conniving. I just want to strangle her, which is why I also love her so much as a character.
I know. Same, dude. Oh my god. What do you guys think of her change of heart to whatever we want to call it? Break the rules of nobility and tell everybody about, or at least tell Casterfo about Leia's real daddy.
I was kind of wondering if, to her, telling him and not telling everyone was somehow her working her way around that conflict of interest she had. Like, I tried to figure out how it would work out, but I think she thought by telling him, then she would not be breaking the quote-unquote royal seal, but I can't figure out how that fits. So maybe I'm off base.
I don't think she is deluding herself. I think she, like, came right up against it of, I can keep my royal vow, or I can, like, help the First Order come back and, like, come into power.
Right, because, like, that's literally, this was very YA insofar that, like, it actually said that at the end of one of the chapters, and I was like, oh, Dolly! Great.
I know, but Oh my god, this can I be stink. Anyway.
I know. Aren't I great at not discussing the plot when that's all I'm doing and that's not what this podcast is supposed to do? Great. Someone else take over, please. Thanks.
Well, I just like want
to I just like to pick your guys' brain about these things that I'm like reacting about. Anyway,
podcast has structure. So
listen, when you're the boss, mom, Chris, it does. But anyway.
Well, anyway, one thing I wanted to talk about was there were a couple times that like there's a theme that was mentioned, and that was kind of like the concept of history versus like becoming myth over time, and like we saw it a couple times, like. When Joff and Greer are on Sibensko, and there's like all this like random kitsch of like old like rebellion flags and like Republic flags and like Empire flags, and Joff just being like, it's so weird that like that's just like kitschy now, like that's like all the seriousness is like taken out of that, and you kind of get that same sense with Luke of, I think it was, I don't even remember who was thinking, maybe it was Lady Carys as well. But she was basically just saying, like Leia's a big threat. Luke isn't really, because he's been gone so long, so he doesn't really have any influence anymore, and he's kind of just a mythical figure who exists somewhere in the galaxy training
other. I actually think it was Leia. But was it think Leia? I think also Leia. I think Lady Carys also mentioned it in passing, but I think Leia was the one who like at least brought him up first as like, nobody cares if Darth Vader is Luke's daddy.
Fair.
Daddy.
But, I mean, I don't know. That kind of got me thinking, like... What?
Nothing. I said daddy. I just...
Oh, okay.
Tumblr's gonna come after me. It's fine. Keep going.
Oh, my God. We're cutting that out. Anyway, go on.
That can be the end tag for the episode. But anyway, it just got me thinking, like, what... This kind of, like, relationship between history versus myth. And, like, that's, we kind of get a sense of it in... The Force Awakens, right? Because, like, we have all these characters who, like, do seem so mythical. Like, Luke Skywalker, I thought he was a myth. Like, Han Solo, the war hero? No, the smuggler. Like, you get this, like, this blurred view of what, of the real events that happened in the Galactic Civil War. And I don't know, it's just, that really struck me. I don't know if you all had that thought as well.
Chris, I had that thought, but I need you to do the accent. Or else I don't know what you're talking about. You have to say no, the smuggler.
No, the smuggler.
Thank you.
Oh my God. I'm
so upset. They do strangle me completely.
Oh my God. You just want to
know, it's fine. You really will never listen to this podcast, and that's probably for the best.
Oh my God, my dad asked me for the link today. And I was
dear God.
No. I don't know what it is. I don't know how to get it to you.
Let me get back
Happy Father's
to you on that.
Day. Let me not tell you the link to my filthy podcast where I talk about nothing and the other people try to rein me in about actual points.
Love you. I actually think, Chris, that's a really interesting point to bring up, because it's, again, Star Wars is loves to recycle its themes, and it's one that you see throughout the saga. I'm thinking about... the original trilogy, when Luke first finds out that his father was a Jedi, and, you know, he's talking to his aunt and uncle, and they're like, this isn't real, like, none of this happened, and then, you know, they go to Mos Eisley to find a ship, and Han, you know, he's saying that he doesn't believe in the Force or anything, and I'm like, guys, the Jedi were only wiped out, like, what, 19 years ago? Like, Han was alive when the Jedi Order existed. Like,
yeah, but it's not like he fought with them during the Clone Wars. Like, I think that's like a very mythical thing, right? I mean, it's like, you know, they always, what did they say? A Jedi is worth 100 clones, right? It's like, that's such like a, maybe that was true. I don't want to like shit on the clones, you know, I love them, my husbands. But I mean, like, that's such hyperbole. Well, you know, it sounds like such hyperbole. I don't know whether or not it's true. I don't know how we'd prove that. But it doesn't matter, because this is a made-up thing. But it's such hyperbole that it's like, if you were Han and you heard that, that's something you would definitely not believe.
See,
so,
that's true.
You know what I mean?
But also, I don't know. At the point of the fall of the Jedi Order, the Jedi were such a huge force in the galaxy, at least politically and governmentally.
LOL.
What?
You said Force.
Oh, God. So, I don't know. It's just kind of a weird Star Wars thing. I don't know. Like, more than 15 years passes and everyone forgets literally anything that ever happened ever.
Hmm. I feel like the same could be said about, maybe not quite 15 years, but same could be said about America.
Yeah. I know.
We forget things that happened in, like, 2 years.
I know. History is bound to repeat itself.
I feel like the sense of history in the Republic, in the New Republic, and, like, particularly in the Empire, when it started, was not good, because, like, obviously, like, the Empire got rid of all the records of the Jedi and, like, made it basically a crime to talk about them, and so that helps just completely erase them from memory. But then you come to, I don't know, like, you come to the, this, like, what is history and what is myth? Like, because here, like, in historical documents, like, history is written by the winner. So, like, what if, and I mean, obviously, like, this doesn't, you know, this doesn't, like, expand to, like, the viewer, because, like, we know that the Empire is objectively evil, but, like, you see a person like Castor Fo who's like, Empire is great, it's just Palpatine was bad, and be like, he was, you know, like, what sources is he getting that from? And, like, if he doesn't, like, know that all the stories about the Old Rebellion were true and, like, only knows the bad stuff, then, like, kind of, like, is an interesting thing to think about when you look at these different views that exist in the New Republic now.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of the... Sorry, go ahead, Kate.
Oh, no, I was going to say something that's related, but also not really related. Okay. It's just an observation.
Go ahead.
I'll just say it. Okay. No, I just think it's kind of interesting that Luke, the reason why he's been gone so long is because he's looking at Jedi history and researching Jedi lore, and he just, like, got so far into his own mythological research that he himself has become kind of, like, this weird ghost for people. And I just want to, like, throw a holocron at his head or something.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hopefully not a Sith holocron, if you know what I mean. That's a Rebels reference, because we hate Blueberry. Anyway, other people will explain that. I'm sorry, I will never stop being this way, and I will never explain myself.
It's fine.
What was I going to say? Shit. I wanted to ask how you guys thought... I feel like I'm, like, a 7th grade reading teacher, because you guys ask all the... Like, you guys make all these insightful connections, and I'm like, how did you feel about this very obvious thing? But I'm still going to ask you. How did you guys feel about Leia telling the truth? Like, we all know it was the quote-unquote right thing to do, because the truth is always the best thing, blah, blah, blah. However... do we think the First Order would have stopped rising as quickly without her, or what do we think the consequences are and the fallout is if she denies, right? Because we know that there's no other proof besides the music box, because God forbid Anakin was cloned. That would have been totally chill and fine, and that would have happened.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh my god.
No, that was it. My question was, what do we think happens, or what do we think she made the right choice in telling the truth to the Senate?
See, I had a question that was almost the other side of that coin, which is, was Leia right in not telling pretty much anyone?
Right. Oh, yeah, I did see that on the outline. I am literate.
Well, you're actually not, Keeks, because it says topics for future episodes for that one.
I read the thing. I read the whole thing.
No, but, I mean, and the only reason we want to talk about that case question in a future episode is because I want to, like, get a sense of, like, the whole book before we, like, say, like, that's what fair. She, like, right or wrong, and, like, see if anything else happens. But, I mean, Keeks, in terms of your question of, like, was she right to, like, tell the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do think that, I don't know, I kind of, like, agreed with her thought process. I don't think she could have easily denied it.
Well, and she's always been one to tell the truth other than this thing, right? Am I incorrect in thinking that?
Yeah, and I mean, I don't necessarily
think of, like, other times when she's lied.
I mean, it was kind of a lie by omission. It wasn't really a
Dantooine. Straight out. Thought about Dantooine.
Okay, well, that's true.
Oh, no, she, kind of.
That cost her her planet, but she didn't know that. God, so sad. I was pretty hyped that... I'm always sad inside, it's fine. But I cleaned my apartment, so it's not depression this time. oh my god. I was, like, really hyped that, that her dad had the, like, forethought to keep her stuff off planet. It actually, like, really, like, touched me and made me really happy that he, like, kept stuff off planet, and she still has her, like, little memory box, and she still has her... whatever. What are those things called?
Her memory box. Keepsake chest.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. I'd
be really stupid if it was called.
Jimmy Smith is good people.
I love Bale so deeply. He's such a good
father. Would you have a Bale anthology movie?
Yep.
Oh my god.
Star Wars story?
That would actually
be. Who would play him?
Jimmy Smith.
Jimmy Smith.
Okay. Oh my god. Everybody calm the fuck down. I was just asking.
Jimmy Smith, Kristen.
Okay. Great.
The bit where kind of at the end of this chunk of reading that we did, where Leia's just in her office by herself, and she probably hasn't heard her father's voice, and I don't even want to know how long.
She lets herself cry.
Yeah, and it's so sad. I almost cried, and I don't really cry that much because I'm
Kate
a robot.
She's not heartless. She is selectively heartless. I'm talking about you, by the way. I'm not talking about.
I know. I was like, yeah. I was pretty sure we were still talking about Kate there.
Yeah, but... we were. Kate missed it. She blocked that out. She's really good.
Sorry. I hear you over the sound of my own talking.
Oh my god. Wait.
All right, well, we're mad off the rails, so I'm going to bring us back.
Non sequitur. Can we talk about Rinrin Dai, please? Because, like, we haven't talked about him at all, and his, like, Hutt Slayer dinner with Leia in the beginning of this chapter, or the beginning of this section, is, like, bae. I loved it.
Yeah, it was pretty great. He, like, you definitely do kind of get this sense of that, like, how when Leia first meets him, she's like, if he'd been a born human, he would have been Tarkin. And, like, you do get that sense of, like, he is, like, kind of just as, like, manipulative and, like, is kind of the classic, like, evil villain.
But is also, like, weird and calls her Hutt Slayer. I like, love him. I need to stop loving him because he's, like, a bad man. Or a bad thing. What, I don't know. Thing is horribly offensive. A bad being. There we go.
Nick-to.
Person thing. Not person. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah, thank
humanoid?
You. Humanoid? Humanoid. He's a bad humanoid. But I love him so much, and I want more of him in this book. Chris, do we get more? Don't tell me.
there's at least one more scene with him.
I love Rinrin Dai so much. I think he...
Chloe Grace is so good at just creating these super well-rounded characters. Good writing.
It's like...
Yeah, like, there's so many different characters in this book that, like, that are main characters in their own right. Like, which is, like, one of the benefits of doing this, like, this method of writing of, like, having there be all these different narrators, but, like, mm-hmm. Casterfo, like, I want a Casterfo book. I want a book about Rinrin Dai's, like, adventures, like, with the First Order. Like, I don't really want a Lady Carrie's book. I feel like that'd be boring, but...
I mean, it would probably be... she's just, like, really into herself. Not into her that much. I mean, what's the general's name? Or I don't know military rank. Don't at me. The woman person who is one of the, like, top ranking leaders in the First Order, it would seem now, who Lady Carice called and was like, "Bitch, you fucked up."
Hardrassian.
Thank you. Yes, you're both great.
One of the many Armenians of the Star Wars universe. It's so weird. It just keeps happening.
Oh my god, I know. I like her a lot. No, she's very true and military.
I think the Amexines are, like, obviously First Order adjacent, but not exactly the same from the way Lady Carice was talking about them.
Who? Okay, Great, but question, then who is, like, raising the First Order? Who are, like, the generals in that, like, paramilitary group?
That's a great question, Keeks. I feel like that's a question that Star Wars needs to review. I mean, I feel like General Hux has to be involved at this point.
Oh, that's probably right. Hux. Sorry.
I didn't even hear what you said.
I just said Hux.
Oh, okay.
Because that's his name.
Cool. I'm caught up now.
I'm great. Doing fine. A situation normal. How are you?
Oh my god, this episode's so out of control.
Yeah, all right, we're way off the rails. I'm gonna bring us back.
Thanks, Chris.
Back to the history versus myth talk. There was one aspect of this that I wanted to talk about before we move on as well. And that's just kind of like this concept of canon. Like, and like, this is, if you are a follower of Pablo Hidalgo on Twitter, then you probably hate that we're discussing the term canon at all. But basically, there's kind of like a long, annoyingly long debate about what is canon in the Star Wars universe. And it kind of stems from the existence of all the old expanded universe works that, like, were not quite sanctioned by Lucasfilm. Like, they were obviously, like, Lucasfilm, like, gave them the rights to, like, use characters, but Lucasfilm was always, like, we're, like, not super associated with this. Like, basically, canon is what George Lucas writes, and then when Disney bought Lucasfilm, they, like, uncanoned it all and turned it into the Legends universe. And, like, so now there's all these questions about, like, these, like, things that a bunch of people really liked. Like, did they still happen? Are they still canon? And so, basically, like, Pablo Hidalgo spends an entirely too large portion of his days, like, answering annoying internet people's questions about, like, is it still canon that Luke, like, invented his own lightsaber on, like, day 34 of, you know, year 3 ABY, and it was originally purple or some shit? Like, I don't know. Like,
wait,
just, like, very...
Wait, but did Dahan really punch a giant otter?
That's the real question. Did Han really punch a giant otter?
I got it.
I did.
But, like, and so you get this question about, like, this, like, giant universe does exist, and what is quote unquote real and what is myth. And I feel like that's kind of like, I don't know, I feel like Claudia Gray, intentionally or not, really, like, kind of came upon this kind of core debate to Star Wars fandom.
Yeah. Agreed. Is Pablo Hidalgo that guy that we fucking hate?
Kate hates him, yes.
Okay, great.
Oh, yeah, we're cutting that out of the pod, please. But yes. No, we're actually cutting
that out. Oh, that's really what I meant. Thank you for getting it, both of you. All right, we can cut it. Why do you want to cut it out, Kate? Please tell me more.
Because I don't want anyone to at me about why I hate Pablo.
It doesn't matter. No one's going to at you.
Yeah, we're just
going to
get so many, like... Oh my Pablo. God. Like, we're gonna get Pablo on our Twitter. He's all up on Twitter too.
I know,
but
he is.
I don't want these fucking Pablo stands up in
Listen,
my grill.
Listen, it's all introverted boys
Pablo
who don't want
like,
to
in the episode, just like when we tweet the episode, can we be like, we talk about like what is and isn't canon in the Star Wars universe and tag Pablo?
Yeah, because then our shit will literally blow up. I mean, not literally. That's literally a
no, and
wrong
then
word
people
there.
Will listen. Bigger picture.
Upset right now.
Listen,
anyway,
we are Lady Carising the shit out of this right now.
Oh my god.
We are Lady Carising the shit out of this right now. That's exactly what we're doing. We're just thinking about the bigger picture and power. No, we're not.
Thinking strategically, etc.
Oh my god, yeah. Everything always happens so much.
Thank you for that,
like,
Kate.
Canon versus not, like, you do kind of have this. I don't know. One thing that I found really interesting was. And this, I promise the story has a point, but basically, like, some internet bro was being like, well, in the movie version of like Force Awakens, like, they say X, but in like this random, like, still canon, like, this random canon book, they said like X plus one, like, it was like very slightly different. And this person was like, which is it? Because clearly their life depends on it. And there was this really interesting thread that Pablo...
Christina Math, X plus one was a very confusing. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
Anyway.
I'm not just being a bitch. I'm just like literally like, wait, that was really confusing. So they said the same thing plus a little bit more? Or they said a different thing?
Like, basically the same thing.
Okay, so they...
The point is, it was like a very minor difference. It's like...
They said 2x. They said negative 1x.
Okay, sure. Sure.
Sure.
Anyway, the difference between one line of dialogue and basically a slightly different line of dialogue. Or, like, something stupid like that. And basically the question was, like, which is canon? And there was this really interesting thread that one of another blogger in the Star Wars Twitter fandom, who, unfortunately, I don't remember who it was at this point in time, basically went on this long thread about, like, what is canon and, like, what does canon mean in a larger science fiction universe? And his general point was that, like, if we're thinking about this as a real universe and as historical documents, there's, like, contradictions like that in history all the time. Like,
oh, yeah.
People are misquoted all the time. Like, basically, we just have to choose which sources we want and, like, get the bigger picture from, like, where it all intersects. And just think of it as, like, historical documents with fallible authors. And, I don't know, I just found, like, that was a very interesting thread to tie into Bloodline and kind of the Skywalker legend.
I think that is interesting, especially in light of the fact that the original Expanded Universe novels, they specifically decided to call it Legends. And that's, you know, that's a word that connotes all the things that you just said. And what else is interesting about what they're doing with it is that they're taking bits and pieces of what used to be canon and is now Legends and putting that in the books that are coming out now that actually are canon. You know, everyone's always wondering if Mar Jade's going to come back sort of thing. And of course they brought Thrawn back and all this sort of thing. And it's just, it's interesting what they're doing with it. And the people who are running Lucasfilm Story Group right now are just so careful about their storytelling and they're so conscious of it that I can't think that this is a mistake.
Yeah. No, I think that's a very good point.
We agree.
Anyway, just something that I thought was cool and, like, a cool thing to keep in mind as you read more Star Wars and watch more Star Wars movies. Because, like, obviously, like, at a certain point, some of these books are going to have small contradictions.
Just, like, yeah. I mean, of course, just, like, history. Yeah. I mean, that all said, raise your hand if you're still fucking super hyped that Lucasfilm is milking this cash cow, and in doing so is making things, like, fucking consistent, because it's my lifeblood that that is happening.
Yes.
Yeah, and, like, doing it well is the
yeah.
key. Because, like,
oh my God.
Like, I've read most of the canon books at this point, and with the exception of, like, the long-running, like, Chris hates this book, Heir to the Jedi book.
The love of
They're
that.
All really good.
I can't wait to read Heir to the Jedi so that Chris can just bitch about it like me and... Like, I just want you to go off on tangents like me and Kate do about everything else.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be a complete role reversal.
I was gonna say, just so that everybody knows, I have the actual outline open and I'm looking at it and I'm just like, no, I'm gonna tell you whatever I want. Even though I could add my own things to the outline and then they would be canon, quote. I'm not doing it. I like to show up and I like to drink Rainier and talk about whatever I want. And then I like for Chris to say, let me rein it in, which is great.
Chris is freestyles. Chris
I
gets
like
mad.
It. I know.
Come back to it.
It's fine. I'll edit my episodes.
It's like being on calls with clients at work. It's the worst.
I know. Oh my God. I'm such a great client.
That was the horrible insult, Chris. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway,
fuck you, so- Chris. Fuck, that was not nice. I know what that means.
Oh my God.
I was gonna let that roll off my back, but then Kate reminded me that I'm a petty bitch. God damn it. Anyway, let's talk about Leia's trauma.
So, once again, we don't really have a good segue into this topic because we never do. So, our segue is that we don't have a good segue. So I brought up a little bit earlier while we were talking about Leia's keepsake chest and Bail's recording, how deeply emotional she gets about that. And that's something that we don't really see in Leia's character, at least in the films. And I remember at some point in the book, she mentions that she, you know, she used up so many hours of her life crying about Alderaan. And obviously her PTSD comes from somewhere. So let's talk about trauma, because that's always fun.
Love it.
Yeah, I don't know. One thing that really struck me in this scene was that, like, this is the only time in pretty much all of Star Wars that we ever, like, give Leia a moment just to deal with all the shit she's going through. Like,
totally.
Like, she's always the strong one. Like, we've got Luke, who, like, for the love of God, Luke, like, grow a pair. Like, Jesus, like, he's, and I mean that jokingly, but, like, you see him being upset over Ben in the Millennium Falcon after Obi-Wan is killed by Darth Vader in episode 4. And then you see him, obviously, like, going through quite a bit of trauma when he gets his hand chopped off and is screaming that Vader is his father and, like, kills himself, except then doesn't die in episode 5. So, but, like, we never get that from Leia.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's this, like, we do and we don't get it from Luke, because I don't want to, God, why am I such a Luke stan sometimes? I feel like a fucking dude. No offense, Chris. my thought is, though, like, we have Luke get lost on the tundra, the fucking cold-ass tundra, and have to deal with all of this fucking shit with, like, whatever that creature was, and also, like, almost dying and having lots of visions, and, like, the way that he deals with that is, like, I'm not gonna meet up at, like, the meetup point. I'm just gonna go see Yoda. And everything is casual. Like, this is not a hard decision. And I'm like, aren't you, like, really fucked up from that, Luke? And he's like, I'm not, Kristen. Thank you for asking. And I'm like, I don't understand why you're not fucked up from that. That doesn't make any sense. You almost died.
Do that, actually.
Really? Please tell me why.
I don't know. The sense that I always got from Empire and Return of the Jedi is that Luke is like unapologetically fucked up by all this, and like he like cannot let go that Vader is his father, and that like Vader has to have some good in him, and he's like obviously right, but like where you see Leia as like kind of the calculating strategic member of the family, like Luke is all emotion. Like there was no strategic benefit to anything that Luke does in Return of the Jedi. Like,
yeah, okay, that's fair.
And he just does it because like he's living his trauma, and he's like, I need to know that there is good in Vader. Like I need for me to go on, I need to know that my father is still in there, because like what does it say about me, and like does it mean I'm gonna turn evil, and like you have this internal like monologue raging within Luke. But like I don't know, yeah, I totally disagree that like he was the stoic one.
Yeah, I think what's interesting here is to see that Luke is the one character out of the original trio who I think has the most complete character arc. Just because obviously when A New Hope starts, he's 19, he's a literal farm boy. You know, he's just super whiny. He kind of, you know, he comes off as a teenager, and then by the time you get to Return of the Jedi, he's been through so much shit that he's a completely different person. He's calmer, he's much more in control of himself, he's focused, and that's due to all of the trauma he's gone through, and you can see how that makes him grow. You can see how quiet he is, honestly, after he gets his arm cut off. Part of that is probably, like, blood loss and, you know, hanging upside down from an antenna and whatever.
But that's not a helpful point.
No, but seriously, but, like, part of it is that, you know, he's that...
acting.
Like, psychologically, he's been through some shit. And you see that happening in the moment. You don't really see that with Leia. You know, all those hours she says in Bloodline that she spent crying over Alderaan, we don't see any of that. We don't even see 30 seconds of it.
Yeah.
That's good.
Like, we have her... we have Leia comforting Luke after Obi-Wan dies. And like,
I was gonna say,
like, Obi-Wan's an important character, don't get me wrong, but Luke's been close to Obi-Wan for approximately 48 hours.
Okay.
Like, Leia just saw everybody who she ever grew up with die in front of her eyes. And Luke's like, hey, that old guy was kind of cool. Now I'm sad.
Oh my god. Don't, like, talk about Obi-Wan around me.
All right, well, I just completely dropped the mic on that one, apparently. But, like, I don't know.
I know. Me and Kate are just like, yes, but I'll yes, but that's the famous improv line, right? Yes, but
yes and.
Yeah, I fucking know it's yes and, Chris. I was making a joke.
Well, actually, Christian, let me name yes
and. I know it's yes and. I live in Portland, for God's sake. We don't do anything besides improv. It's the only and thing we do.
Alcohol.
And drink alcohol. That's correct. I mean, not work. That's not even a joke. No, we don't do it. No, I guess what I was going to say is, like, I think we're not actually contradicting each other, because Luke was such a babe when he got off, not babe like hottie, but babe like baby, when he got off Hoth, that he was just like, yeah, of course I'm going to listen to Ghost Obi-Wan in my dreams. Why would I not? Yeah. That's fine. That's, I'm not traumatized by it. And then he probably, like, reflected on that for a little bit longer, and then he was like, oh, fuck, I need to go to some serious space therapy for this. And then he, hey, listen, don't tell me it doesn't exist, because what else was there between Return of the, no, nope, I don't know any of the names of anything. Between episode 5 and 6, there we go.
Everyone in Star Wars needs space therapy, TBH, yeah, so.
No fucking shit.
It's like everyone in reality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey guys, go to therapy. This is an ad for Talkspace. No, it's not. We're not sponsored by anyone. I just
again, yeah.
It's fine.
Working on
Talkspace.
It.
Talkspace, call us.
I know. I like Talkspace.
Clearly,
I use
it. Great at live reads.
I wouldn't use Talkspace if my therapist on Talkspace wasn't 3 hours away from me, just to be clear. But she is, so I use her, and I don't use her. I mean, I like pay her money, but she's great. Talkspace, use therapy, it's good. See, that's the giggle of three people who are in therapy, by the way.
I know, right?
We're just right. Giggle, use therapy. Yep, do it. It'll fuck your life up less, more first, but less later.
And then less, yes.
Is there anything else?
Kind of like Luke's Jedi training.
Yeah, oh, just like that. I want Yoda for a backpack. Anyway, how come Luke got him? Anyway, does anybody else have anything that to say other than we are reading Bloodline chapters 24 to the end of the book for the next episode, which is super exciting. Shout out to @RealBabyBird, who was so cute about asking us what she should read next. And we said, a bunch of comic books, but also you probably have time to read all of Bloodline. She's a super fast reader.
That's the great thing about our podcast, though, because, like, we tell you what episodes we're going to cover, so you just, like, read whatever you want, listen to our episodes whenever you want, and, like, it's not like we're fucking topical. Like, this book came out in 2015.
This book, we are the most topical people I've ever met. That's not true.
I mean, Rebel Rising, we talked
about
when it came out.
That was topical as fuck. That's why we're talking. I mean, that's why, like, we're doing the schedule that we're doing according to the spreadsheet that Chris put together. Thank you, Chris.
You're so welcome, Kristen.
Yeah, you love that spreadsheet more than anything in this world besides Kate.
I really do. It's my child.
It is his child. It's his child, even more than official.
It's got conditional formatting. It has colors. It's great.
Look, Chris loves that spreadsheet more than official podcast mascot, our hamster Boba pet.
I was gonna say, wait, didn't I name that hoe?
Yes, you did.
Oh my god, one in a row, Kristen. You're a genius. One I was gonna say it goes like Chris's loves go like Kate, the spreadsheet, Boba pet. And I'm like not that mad about it, because like Boba pet gets a fuckload of love for me. Can I be? I don't believe in God, but
saying,
can I be
this,
his
I'm
like
just saying,
God aunt?
This spreadsheet has never bit me, so.
All right, listen.
It also doesn't poop.
The spreadsheet also doesn't poop like 100 times a day.
Listen, don't talk about my
anyway. So
don't
yeah,
talk about my nephew
like
that. Like
Kristen said, we're going to be finishing up Bloodline chapter 24 through to the end. Talking about it next episode, and then we're probably going to have a wrap-up episode after that. Like
I know. Chris said that we weren't, and then me and Kate were like, but we have so many things to say about nothing.
And if...
Watch us have a wrap-up episode.
Oh my gosh. And if anybody, all 10 people who are listening to this, if you have anything to say, we are taking questions and comments for that wrap-up episode. If you've got anything you'd like to add to the conversation, we're on Twitter.
Please ask us questions.
Yes, we are on Twitter. We're at Book Wars Pod. You can also find us on Tumblr. Our Ask Box is open. Again, our Tumblr handle is at Book Wars Pod. And if you like doing it a more old-fashioned way, then we also have email, bookwarspod@gmail.com.
We love both.
Which we should probably check.
Yeah, sure. I don't think we've gotten anything, but...
Okay.
I'll check tonight.
I'll double-check. I'll triple-check.
And also, one more plug for... If you are listening to and enjoying the podcast, A, first of all, thank you. We have been, like, actually, like, shocked and kind of overwhelmed by the meager response that we've already gotten, because, frankly, we thought we would be the only ones to download this, and that has not been the case. So we're, like, truly thankful for you listening, and we hope that you continue to listen. But also, please give us feedback. Are there things about the podcast you like? Are there things you don't like? Should I just shut up and let Keeks and Kate just go on tangents the whole time?
Absolutely not. That is not the answer to the podcast. If we didn't have Chris, none of you would listen.
Fair. But give us feedback, and then also please do rate, review, subscribe on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play. It's a great way for people to discover the podcast and learn more about the Star Wars universe and the canon books and all the wonderful world building that these authors give us.
That's what we all want, because if everyone loved Star Wars, we would have world peace.
That's right.
Exactly.
I'm just going to give a plug, because, like, I think Claudia Gray is doing an amazing job with this book, but I also think Beth Rivas did a great job with our last book, and they're... Sorry, I'm just belching from not drinking any beer while I was working. I think that they... they're very distinct... books. Like, of course they're about different things, so fine, but that's part of one of the great things about this podcast is we get to talk about things that are canon, but the books that we're talking about are actually, like, very, very distinct in their, like, writing style and what they offer, and I think that that's fucking badass, especially from, like, two lady writers. Like, do your thing, gals, ladies, totally. Women. I don't know.
Totally agree.
Whatever is least offensive to you, that's what we would like to call you. I like how I say offensive.
On that note, for Keeks and Kate, I am Chris. Thank you for listening to episode 6 of the Book Wars Pod, and we will talk to you next week about the end of Bloodline.
I'm the worst because I said, Kate, you have the most PTSD. Why don't you start about Leia's trauma? I think your headphones were off, so there was no laughter. And then I, like, had immediate diarrhea from you not answering. So continue.